Welcome back to DC Talk. This is episode 3030, everybody. It is February the 17th, 2019. We are talking about all kinds of DC news. And y'all, I'm not even going to play. I'm not even going to say this is going to be a short episode, because as much news as dropped this week and as many TV shows that we got to cover, y'all going to be listening to this thing for 3 hours. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Oh, you look, sweet summer child.
I know. But look, you get to hear our awesome, beautiful voices tonight. I am not Ian, it's Ian. It's Ian.
Oh, please, do I need to rig your neck?
Stefan. Okay? It's not Steven, it's Stefan. Anyway,
I need to wring your neck, Mike?
Yes, just a little bit.
Okay.
Just make sure I get that note right.
No,
I'm Mike. And the awesome co-host you hear me with is Carrie. What's up?
Not much. I'm just sitting here going through the metric bleep ton of news we have. Wow.
It's quite a bit of news.
Wow. Okay.
Show.
I think we're up to the task.
Yeah, if not, who else is going to do it?
If not, we should pack it in.
It's going to be us.
We should pack it
we'll,
in.
We'll send all this stuff over to the Guardians of the MCU. Let's let them handle it for us this week.
Oh, they won't do that.
But look, again, this is Mike, Carrie. We're going to talk a little bit about DC Talk. Before we get there, listen, we'd love your support. You know, you can support us for just $1 a month, y'all. It really does support us. And with that dollar, you get access to all of our Discord channels. Come hang out with us in Discord. We'd love to have you. That's my pitch. I'm not going any further than that. All right. So thank you for joining us. And let's get started with our DC news.
Okay, so Arrow has recruited Connor Hawk in a recurring role. This should not be a surprise after this week's episode, but Joseph David Jones, who plays Connor Hawk, a.k.a. Diggle's son, is going to be a recurring character for now. So, excellent.
Awesome. I like it.
Yep.
Did we have any more TV news this week?
I don't know. I have too many tabs open. Hold up. yes, that's the only DC TV news we have.
Because, wow. But we do have some universe news, everybody.
Yes.
And yes. What kind of universe news do we have?
Well,
Carrie?
Apparently the Joker will be dropping some F-bombs on the Harley Quinn show. Now, considering that I have no problems with this, at least they warned us in advance so that, you know.
Unlike Doom Patrol,
we can get the kids out of the room before we watch this.
And honestly, we had no idea when Doom Patrol came on what we were going to see and hear. But hey, we'll get to that when Doom Patrol goes on.
We'll get to that. But also, I mean, this is Alan Tudyk voicing the Joker, so I am on board with whatever he wants to do.
Well, he did Doom Patrol very well, so I'm down with that.
Yeah, so apparently in his words, my Joker is different in the way he can cuss. I think that's probably referring to be able to say bleep off. Having that ability in your Joker is fun. It's a very funny cartoon animated series, so I think the style of it lends itself to allowing more flexibility. Oh, okay. Cool.
Speaking of swearing.
Yes.
Carrie, I didn't put this in our notes, but did you see Tom Cavanaugh's Instagram the other day?
No, I did not.
Okay, so apparently he is trying to raise money for I'm trying to think of what it was. Some kind of disease or something like that. So Okay, so here it is. So he was trying to raise funds for ALS research, and he made a major announcement on his Instagram. Through the explicit and the swearing and the language on his Instagram video, he said for all the money because apparently he likes to swear a lot. And he said for every swear word he gets, he'll put money in his swear jar, and whatever money is raised, he'll give for ALS research.
Hey.
So it was an insanely swearing full Instagram account.
Good.
But hey.
Good.
Anyways. But going on with some Doom Patrol. Got any Doom Patrol news?
Yes. So the Rotten Tomatoes score for Doom Patrol has been released. It has earned itself a 92% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which
I believe that was higher than Titans.
Yes. Titans only has a 82%, so this is 10 points higher. I can see it. This is definitely a fun show. It's definitely not for everyone.
It's something, that's for sure.
Again, make sure the kids are out of the room before you watch this.
Yep, we can address that later, Miss Carrie. Oh, but that's all of our DC Universe news. And now we're going to move on into our DC, just general news that we have going around in the DC Universe. First up, an Aquaman sequel is officially in the works from our writers, with the writer from the first film. So I'm excited about this. This was a report by Variety. They hired David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick to write the script.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've heard, James Wan and Peter Safran are coming back to produce Aquaman as well. So he'll be teamed with Will Beal on the Aquaman script. Johnson McGoldrick will be. So they kind of directed both the Conjuring movies, and he began working on a script after reading Aquaman comic books a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
But anyway, so we do know that Aquaman sequel is in the works. It's coming, guys. And speaking of Aquaman, James Wan was recently asked about the possibility of an Aquaman cinematic universe. I like this idea. I think this would be really cool. He says on his Twitter, "Thank you. What I do in my little corner doesn't affect other projects getting made. Aquaman was always about building a bigger, unique world within itself. There are many adventures within the seven seas." In parentheses,
agreed.
He said, "Now, I'm not saying that this is actually happening." And then he quoted a Hollywood Reporter, retweeted them, which says, "The potential of an Aquaman cinematic universe." So there's a little bit of toying going on there.
Well, you know what? The ocean is big. It's really big.
Right. And when you're talking about Seven Kingdoms.
Yes, true. Seven Kingdoms under the sea, yes.
I'd be okay with an Aquaman, you know, cinematic universe.
Yeah,
I'd
me
be
too.
Okay with that. But even more Aquaman news, Aquaman has officially passed Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice at the domestic box office, which stands at $331.3 million now. It also overtook, and I don't know if this is running into your notes, Carrie, but as I'm reading this article, it also overtook The Dark Knight Rises, $1.085 billion, to now become DC Comics' biggest movie ever with a running total of $1.13 billion.
That is awesome. It's also now one of the top 20 highest grossing movies of all time. So
did you see what movie it kicked out?
Transformers Dark of the Moon.
There you go, Eric. If you're listening, now you're happy. Transformers got knocked out of the top 20 and Aquaman replaced it.
I had a lot of issues with, I don't hate Dark of the Moon, but I had a lot of issues with it, but this is not a Transformers podcast, so we won't go into that.
It could be, though, Carrie, wink, wink, but it could be. Maybe.
No.
Anyways. Moving on, what else we got?
Okay, Scott Adkins has addressed his leaked Batman audition tape. I was swamped at work this week, so I saw something about this, and I just had no time.
I think he did a great job, to be honest. And Batman's one of the main characters I don't take lightly. But I'd give the guy a shot, you know, just see.
Okay.
I think he could do it. So I think he could actually do Wolverine and win
Okay.
Disney buys Fox. But yeah, I think it's very good.
Well, he
So
can
if you
only
get
do
some time, you need to
one.
check it out.
So
I know,
which
no, he could
one?
do both. It's okay. Well, listen, when Robert Downey dies in Endgame, he can come over to DC.
And play who?
Mr. Fantastic.
In DC?
No, wait a minute.
DC
Wrong
Mr.
one.
Fantastic is a Marvel is Marvel.
crossing. I'm crossing too
So
many
you
streams
mean
here.
you so you mean when Tony Stark if and when Tony Stark dies in Endgame?
Mad Hatter.
Huh.
I could see him playing Mad Hatter.
Huh. That could work.
I think he could do it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway,
Anyways.
DC and McFarlane Toys has announced a partnership. So this is after the breakup with, was it Kenner? Yep. DC is now partnering with McFarlane Toys, and I love this idea. McFarlane Toys is makes some really, really awesome stuff. I have a couple of I have a Buffy the Vampire Slayer action figure from them and a Crow action figure somewhere. And they are McFarlane Toys make some really, really nice stuff.
Okay. I think so. I'm looking forward to it, to get more DC awesomeness. So I'm down with that.
They had a line. They had a line of dragon toys, dragon figures that I could not afford to get at the time that they were released, and they're probably way too expensive now.
Oh. Well, Carrie, this next bit of news is what was kind of I believe you put it out on Discord first before I actually
Yes.
looked at it. So apparently there is going to be a Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated movie.
Batman will take out all the turtles.
Well, I don't think anybody knew this movie was coming. I know there was talks about it.
Hey,
But
you know
have you
what?
seen a
If
couple
Batman can team up with Scooby-Doo, he can team up with the turtles.
I give it a shot. I know Nickelodeon's gonna have a lot to say in it. There's a couple images that was already that we've already seen about it. So it's definitely Nickelodeon style from the Ninja Turtles that are on Nickelodeon right now. So I may check it out. I don't think it'll be added to Caped Chronicles because it doesn't look like one of those movies that need to be added to Caped
But
Chronicles.
we'll see. Who knows?
We may see. I mean, it may turn out to be a great movie. Who knows? So
Well,
Batman
we'll
versus
discuss this again in like 2030 when we've gotten
finally
there.
get there. And here's another kind of big report. So this one's kind of I'm gonna skip this one and come back to her in just a second. But here's one real quick. DC, the Birds of Prey and a Batgirl films won't be connected, and I'm okay with this.
Yep.
Because again, as we said, that they will remain separate entities within this DC extended universe. What DC has said is we're done chasing the Marvel playbook. We're going to do DC's own playbook. We're going to focus on our movies. We're going to tell our stories. And if they connect, they connect. If they don't, whoop-de-doo. I know Brax brought up today in Discord about Darkseid coming. If it's already hinted at in the DCEU movies, I still think it's a possibility.
Oh yeah, me
But
too.
I'd
I think I think
and
that
I and I think they want to.
Yeah,
But
I think they would I think it would be a mis I agree with Brax, it would be a bit of a mistake to drop that ball.
I don't think they're gonna drop it. I
I don't
think
think
they're
they're
gonna
gonna
put it on
drop
the
it
back
either.
burner
I
right
hope
now.
at least I hope they don't. I think it's up in the air somewhere. I just hope that it's, you know, I hope that they're figuring out how that's going to work.
I agree.
Yeah, and that this actually makes sense because if we're using, and this is not to say that Barbara Gordon is going to be in both the Birds of Prey and Batgirl movies, but Barbara Gordon's Oracle, as it says in the article, was an integral part of Birds of Prey, And that was, and when she becomes Oracle after Joker shoots her. So, that's a different Barbara Gordon than what we would see in a Batgirl movie.
Right.
Necessarily, okay, obviously.
Right. I'm okay with them being disconnected. I'm okay with not having to connect everything. Just tell me a good story, and you got my money, DC.
Yep.
So here's an article. We're going to kind of hit this on two things. First of all, DC is dropping Jared Leto's Joker movies. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I got no problem with that. If it's not going to fit in what they want to do, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
The next thing that's been up for quite a bit of debate is Harley Quinn is out for James Gunn's Suicide Squad. So there's been some rumors that says that that Harley Quinn is out, along with Margot Robbie. There's also been some rumors that Harley Quinn is still going to be in it, but not being played by Margot Robbie. So in essence, right now, y'all, we don't know.
We don't know.
It's just rumors and speculation. And it was also brought up today, I believe, our good buddy Tim brought up that, is this a reboot or a sequel to it? And this is almost like kind of a soft relaunch. Yeah. The best way they could put it is almost like a soft relaunch. So Gunn could do pretty much anything he wants to. They could still keep the Suicide Squad movie in the DCEU from the one that was already made back in 2016. Because the Suicide Squad was always made up of multiple characters throughout its history.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the same character. So if Gunn is looking to kind of give a soft relaunch, then the answer would be, just like the Avengers are made up of different people throughout its run, so is the Suicide Squad. So to me, if I was Gunn, I would not have Quinn and Margot as being played by Margot Robbie. I wouldn't even have Harley Quinn. I would completely pull myself away from that if you're going to relaunch. And I think that may be what he's doing. He may be saying, look, we're going to relaunch this thing. We're going to do it kind of soft. It's still going to be in there, but it's going to have its different characters, kind of like the Avengers will. What do you think?
I think it's too early to... I trust them to take care of this. They've been doing a decent job so far. I liked the first Suicide Squad movie. And with James Gunn on board for the second one, whether it's a reboot or a redirect or a direct sequel, I'm all for it. I would be sorry to see Harley Quinn go from the squad, but as you said, you know, Harley doesn't have to be in the Suicide Squad. She can be elsewhere.
Right. And they could always bring Margot Robbie back.
Oh yeah.
Later on in a different capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
I'm wondering if they're what was her name? This is great podcasting, guys.
I know. We're Google and Siri searching right now.
I'm just wondering if they're going to keep Viola Davis on as Waller, because she was awesome.
Yeah, she really did do good. I hope they do keep her. I wouldn't think there'd be a reason why they get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is going to be a Suicide Squad where it's made up of different members, it would be okay, I think, to still have her. And she can almost say, hey, here's the new team.
Well, and also, you know, Waller is, this version of Waller is just, you really want to hate her. Like, I love loathing her version of Waller. The Arrowverse version was almost too nice on occasion. And now we have Lila. And Lila has a better, more arguably better moral code than Amanda Waller does.
100% yes.
Yep.
So, anyways, those are just a couple of other reports. We have some Shazam news.
Oh, yes. So, Shazam will have a post-credits scene, or at least they're teasing a post-credits scene for Shazam, which is going to be fun because we need more Shazam.
Well, what do you think the post-credits scene is going to be?
I have no idea.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
Give me a Birds of Prey clip.
Maybe.
Yep, I can see a Birds Maybe. Of Prey clip.
Maybe. Although, Dwayne Johnson has been wanting to play Black Adam for a very long time. If they decided that they were going to bring Black Adam into the DCU, that could be a really cool way to introduce him.
Or you get a Flash trailer.
They're not even working on the Flash right now. They pushed it back so far. They're not working on. There's not going to be a Flash trailer.
Thus the surprise, Carrie, that we've been tricking you. We've been really filming it the whole time. Here's the trailer. Boom.
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike.
But what kind of a PR move do you think that would be? I think that would be pretty cool, though. It wouldn't happen.
It could be interesting, but it's not going to happen.
That would be very funny. No, it's not. It's not. But I'm excited about Shazam anyways. I'm excited. I know this is DC podcast. I'm excited about Endgame, and I'm excited about Shazam. Captain Marvel, it's still got to do something to grab me. I hadn't even bought tickets to that mess because it just does not look interesting to me yet.
Captain Marvel comes out in what, 2 weeks?
No.
3 weeks.
Captain Marvel comes out in April.
No.
No, that's Shazam.
That's Shazam.
Okay, yeah.
Captain Marvel comes out in like 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what my schedule's going to look like in the next 2-3 weeks, so... yeah, I haven't had a chance to get tickets yet.
I'll probably just see it just because it's gonna connect in with.
Oh, I'm gonna go see it, but
the movie.
Hopefully opening weekend. But I don't know what my schedule's gonna be like. But we digress. Shazam's also gotten an official PG-13 rating, so excellent.
Excellent. That means we're still family friendly with comedy.
With comedy and a bit of violence.
That's right. That's right. Off of Shazam for a little bit.
Yeah.
Somebody else that we love.
So Superman has reportedly been shelved to give Supergirl the spotlight.
Okay. Thoughts?
I mean, cool. I'm sorry if they don't end up doing another Man of Steel movie, I will be sad. But if they decide to go with Supergirl instead, that's fine.
I could see it being good as a good thing.
Oh yeah,
I'm okay with. I mean, I like Superman. I wouldn't mind him kind of shelving it for a little bit. I just lied to my teeth. I said I like Superman. I don't mind Superman.
I don't mind the Superman that we've gotten in the last few movies.
Right. He's been okay. I don't like Superman generally as a character, but I liked him in the last couple movies. So I'll get that. That's how I'll put that. And as long as they don't 1984 this Supergirl, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
But I'm down with it. I'm good with it. A couple more bits of news that we have, just actually two more. Ben Affleck has officially confirmed he has retired as Batman. Oh, we know there's been rumors, there's
so
been speculation.
Sad.
This is confirmed. I am deeply sad. I am so sad. Hurt at who's going to take over. I understand, though. He just needs to step back for a little bit. I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Affleck, from my Batman heart to yours, Batfleck, thank you for your time as Batman, and I know you listen to our podcast, and we'd love to have you on the podcast sometime.
He doesn't listen to our podcast.
Say what?
He probably doesn't listen to our podcast. I'm sorry.
His agent may. You are more than welcome to come and
join
us.
But, okay.
Reach out to me at @OB_MikeKenobi on Twitter. We will set something up for you. All right, but Ben Affleck, thank you so much for all the years you've given us as Batman, and hope the next guy is as good as you. So.
Yeah. And then we have one last thing. DC Superhero Girls trailer has revealed a premiere date on the Cartoon Network. I have only vaguely heard of this. So
it's going cool. to kind of follow along the same lines as Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of animation and that kind of thing. It's just going to be the DC Superhero Girls. I believe Jesus said a while back his daughter's really into these and the action figures and stuff. So now they've got a TV show coming out. So it's kind of like Teen Titans Go. So Erasure, if you're listening, now you got to go see another movie when it comes out on video in the theaters, Superhero Girls. Because he just saw Teen Titans Go with his kids.
It says that there's a premiere date, but I don't see the premiere date. Oh, wait, March 8th. March 8th yep. is when it's going to premiere on Cartoon Network. So, cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this. It looks cool. I'm glad DC is really hitting cartoons pretty heavy.
Yep.
They've been very successful in their animation and their CW TV shows.
Agreed.
So that's one thing that you know, fans cannot really bash them about. But anyways, well, Carrie, is there any more news?
Do we need any more news after all that?
Don't worry. As soon as we're done recording,
like
four
50
news
more things are going to drop. And
right.
Yeah.
But nope, no more news.
I won't have time to read any of it.
That's true. That is true. We're going to move on in then at this time to our loaded DC TV discussion. All right, so there was no Supergirl this week. There will be Supergirl tonight. And I do kind of want to make a small little blurb here. There will be no Arrow, Flash, or Black Lightning for the next 2 weeks. They are taking a small second winter hiatus for the next couple weeks. They'll be back the week of March 4th. However, Supergirl, Gotham, and Doom Patrol, I believe, will be continuing while the other ones are taking their time off. So they'll have a couple weeks. So if there's any of the shows you need to binge that you're behind on, me, I've got like 3 episodes left of Runaways and then Punisher still. Go ahead and binge while these 3 shows are off the air this week. All right?
My schedule thanks you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's okay. Just wait until Legends comes back, and then you have everything at the beginning of April for 1 week. I'm talking everything. But we get to record about Swamp Thing this summer.
That's
the
true.
Swamp Thing comes out in May.
That's true.
So we get to talk about that. That'll be fun. But we're not talking about Supergirl this week.
Nope.
We're talking about Arrow. Season 7, Episode 13, The Star City Slayer. Oliver and Felicity are disappointed after they learn that William is hiding something from them. Wanting to focus on his family, Oliver steps back from his Green Arrow duties and lets the team take over tracking down a serial killer. Ding, ding, dum.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the team becomes targets for the killer, or are they, things take a bloody turn.
Yeah, and I would
Who
like
called
to,
it?
And just as I shouldered most of the note taking duties last week because Mike was too busy, I would like to thank Mike for taking his turn of doing most of the notes this week because I was swamped. So a lot of my thoughts pretty much echo what Mike was saying. So thank you, Mike, for for all the good notes.
Hey,
you were right, and you were right about Stanley.
Stanley,
don't let it go to your head.
Carrie, listen. When am I not right? Let's just put this out there now. When am I not right? I mean, come on, it's just gonna happen.
Right, sure.
I loved all the future story scenes. Mm-hmm. In this episode, I was listening to Jay and Josh over, on the
Green Justice?
Green Justice podcast, and I can't remember if it's I think it's Josh that has a theory that he does not think that the future story scenes are actually the future storyline. He thinks that they are just a played out scene of an alternate future storyline. I don't know how, but I do love the future story on how we're getting it. I've never been a big fan of William, so I'm down if this is how William leaves the show.
I think we discussed this last time about how, you know, TV in general doesn't write kids well, and so it's probably a good thing that we are kind of letting him go off with his grandparents for a while.
That way you don't have to kill him off.
That way we don't have to kill him off because Oliver's already lost enough people in his life, and already had enough issues. By the way, I have subtitled this show, this week's show tonight on Queen Family Mind Bleepery.
Yes, it is
for many, many reasons. Actually, I think we could probably subtitle this entire season that.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of Queen Family drama going on in this show.
Not just drama. There is a lot of mind bleepery going on with the Queen Family, and wow. I don't think I can handle living in that family. I think I would, you know, take a small stipend and get the heck out. Well, I
be
could
gone.
Be gone.
Hey, did you hear where William's going? Where his grandparents live?
Central City.
Oliver
has been there enough times to know that might not be the best idea, but that just happens to be where his grandparents live. So,
also the Flash. I mean, that'd be interesting. Just kind of a little Easter egg maybe to throw in against people.
I would be interested to see if he shows up on the Flash at all. I mean, he kind of knows them, right? Maybe.
Yeah, it'd be funny. It'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Stanley, straight out psycho.
Yes.
Arkham Asylum gets a shout out.
Another shout out. Yep.
I love it.
I am working on the general theory that because Batwoman has been officially greenlit, that this is why they are now free to talk about Gotham and Gotham
except for
Central,
Suicide Squad. That group.
Except for that group. except for the Ghost Protocol.
So let's talk a little bit about Curtis. Curtis, in case you don't know, spoiler, Curtis leaving the show. The actor who played Curtis is leaving the show.
Yeah, he confirmed this on Twitter. I was actually spoiled about this before I got to see the episode.
See, I wasn't. But I kind of saw it coming. I understood it, though. I felt like, personally, the creators did not have really much of a plan for him. And he was just spinning his wheels on the show.
Well, also he says he wanted to spend more time with his family in L.A.
Right.
And, you know, it.
And this was a good way to write him off. Yeah. They can bring him back too.
Yeah. Yeah. They can always bring him back, which is nice. He's not dead. Thank you.
Yep. And then something else apparently you had spoiled was that Mia was Felicity's daughter.
Yep. Yep.
And. By the way, she said she's Felicity's daughter, not Felicity and Oliver. I'll get to that in just a second. I felt like, though, that was telegraphed through the whole show, through this whole episode, that she was going to say she's Felicity's daughter. I just saw it coming.
Yeah.
Then we get a little bit about, so they go and they search for this killer, and they get to this crazy basement. First of all, good job, Dinah, on going down into the dark basement. By the way,
why did
they never turn the light on? When they go into somewhere dark like that, I mean, come on. Anyways, so they go down into this dark basement.
To echo what Curtis was saying, has no one seen a horror movie?
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's just.
I haven't seen very many horror movies either, but I know the rules.
Right. Never go off by yourself.
Exactly.
Never even go in the building. Stay outside the building.
But we now know why Dinah has that scar.
Right, and that could be the reason why she doesn't have a canary cry in the flash forwards.
Well, they haven't confirmed whether or not she has or has it or not. So this could be interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, so Stanley, it's really all the notes are really a ploy to get to Oliver.
Yep.
So they meet Oliver, Felicity, and William are in there eating some of Oliver's famous chili. And
that we've never heard of before.
I know. I want the recipe to that mess. And while they're eating, they start to not move, and they start to become paralyzed. And who walks in? Stanley walks in. And as Stanley gets in there, he starts telling about the reason why he's killing everybody is because he was trying to protect Oliver. Just like he was trying to protect his brother until his brother didn't want his protection, so he killed his brother too. Right at the last moment, William throws the glass bottle toward Oliver. Oliver slaps Stanley with it, knocks him out. And just then, the team busts in to save the day, 3 seconds too late. And then the police come. They haul off Stanley. And while they're in there, Felicity gets a phone call. And some kind of, apparently they took a lot of blood work from Felicity. And all we know was that Felicity says, "Oh, really?" And she looks at Oliver, and we don't know what she said. And then the next scene was Mia saying that she is Felicity's daughter. Now, here's my theory. You ready?
Yes. Hit me.
Felicity never said she was pregnant, because it seems like when you say, "Oliver, I've got some news," and she had that serious look on her face, you would say, "I'm pregnant." But it never come out that she was pregnant. I'm wondering if this is something else. She's got some other kind of medical issue right now. Just because it just seems like too much of a... Not a
too
red
much
herring.
Of a, it too just much seems, of a coincidence?
It just seems like too much of a coincidence. For even for TV coincidences. So, I don't... Anyways. That's my theory.
Right.
Anything else about Arrow?
No, I don't think so.
You had here on your notes that you thought it was the cop originally.
Yeah,
the cop with, like, the
for
one
some
line.
Reason I thought it might have been the cop one, the cop that was hanging around Dinah.
Yeah, in his one line he gave.
Yeah, but
kinda
yeah,
awkward.
I was wrong.
Yeah. All right, well, if that's all for Arrow, let's move on into Black Lightning.
Okay, so Black Lightning, Season 2, Episode 13, The Book of Secrets, Chapter 3, Pillar of Fire. Yep, there was a Pillar of Fire.
Yep.
Tobias activates one of the Masters of Disaster and sends him and Cutter to bring him the other pods. Napier gets Jeff a chance at his... at his old job back, and Anissa learns more about Grace's history.
It was... All right, so let's just start off with the funny jokes first. I love the beginning, when the lines...
He's less old.
When he's talking
less
to Gant.
Less young.
Yeah, when he... Yeah, you're not old, Jeff. You're just less young.
Yeah.
And then he said... Jeff looks at Gant and says, "So you're saying my 16-year-old daughter is a walking nuclear bomb." What if there's some kind of innuendo there?
Well, I mean, you know, teenager hormones, and now she has powers.
Right.
You do the math.
Yeah, walking
you have,
nuclear bomb.
Again, you have kids. This is what
I
you
do,
have to look. This is what you have to look forward to in a few years, but without the
right.
powers, hopefully.
And something you mentioned the other day, or the couple episodes ago, that you thought there was some history between Cutter and Tobias?
Yes.
There's definitely something
there's definitely
there,
some
and I want to know about it.
Yeah, I kind of want to know, I really want to know what the history is between Cutter and Tobias and between Jace and Tobias. By the way, I think I have this weird feeling that Jace might be playing both sides. But it could have been the sake
yeah.
I was drinking while I was watching the episode.
No, it wasn't. Jace is definitely playing both sides.
Huh. Okay.
So let's talk about Lowry and Jefferson.
Yes.
So as Lowry's leaving, he told Jefferson he'll be fired again due to negligence. So Jefferson goes in.
Mm-hmm.
He's offered the job, or he said he could be offered the job again as principal because of Lowry's negligence. But Jefferson kind of changes.
Well, it wasn't Lowry's negligence. It was Lowry's attitude towards the students and the fact that
he said that Jefferson will be fired again because of his negligence, because he wasn't there when the students needed him the most when things were going down.
Right. Lowry doesn't know what the reasons are, but he's not wrong. I mean, with all of the stuff on Jefferson is dealing with right now, does he really want to go back? Did he really think that going back to being principal was the best idea?
Right. I'm glad he didn't, because I think if he wanted to in that meeting when he was called to give a character witness to Lowry, I think he could have got his job back.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't think there would have been any doubt.
He definitely could have played that card, and
but he didn't.
No, he didn't. I just, and as I said in the few notes I have, is that I just hope that Lowry understands what just happened, and I hope I hope Lowry takes this as a way of understanding that he needs to do better as well.
Right, and you kind of mentioned about not needing to bend right after I had mentioned that Lowry was right. The kids do need consistency, and kids do need consistency and someone to always be there for them, whether they like that person or not. And you were right that he does need to understand that he needs to be able to bend just a little bit.
Right, because also, as you said, yeah, the kids need consistency. They need to know that the principal is going to be there. The problem is Lowry hasn't come off as someone who is going to be there for the kids. He comes off as someone who is just there to enforce the rules and not give anyone, you know, a second chance if they screw up.
Right.
And I hope that this turn of events forces Lowry to understand that it's a two-way street, and he needs to do better as well.
Right. I agree. I do. So I'm kind of glad how that resolved. I'm glad we didn't lose Lowry right now in the season. I'm glad they're going to at least keep him. And I'm glad Jefferson did not go back into being principal. He's got too much going on to deal with.
Right.
Speaking of too much going on, let's talk about Little Miss Hothead Jen herself.
Oh yeah, so
Jen
the Blackbird has two identities now, and yeah, she's kind of pissed.
She definitely went out after Tobias,
rightly so. But yeah, she's gonna get herself killed if she's not careful, especially since we figured. I think we just saw what the limits of her powers are.
Right, and you saw she goes to the hotel. By the way, you realize that's the same hotel that they first got taken in.
Yep.
So she goes there and she gets surrounded because she didn't think they knew she was coming. But she gets surrounded, she starts beating him up, and then she kind of just
faints.
Now here's the question I have. How did Anissa get to Jen so quickly at the hotel?
There's a police scanner, for one thing.
Okay, but when she heard it on the police scanner
she was in Gamby's office.
Right, she was in Gamby's office. She wasn't even dressed yet in her outfit. She had to go get her outfit on, get on her bike, and get there. By the time she would have done that, it would have been well past Jen had gotten shot.
Hollywood magic, dude. Comic book magic. It's okay. Not everything has to make sense.
That's true. But let's talk about something that really just ticks me off.
Uh-oh.
How in the world are they going to kill off one of the best characters in the show? Why did they kill Todd?
Have you watched South Park at all?
No.
I'm done
with the show now. I'm never watching Black Lightning again, because every time I get attached to a character, what do? They kill them off.
Never watch Game of Thrones, dude. But no, my first thought was kind of, I kind of had a, a, a They Killed Kenny moment. It's like, they killed Todd, you bastards!
But we, like in all comic book shows, he may not be dead. He could come back.
Well, yeah, there was a very large kaboom. I don't know that he's going to survive that.
There was a really large kaboom on Doom Patrol, but that Joker's still alive. Just saying.
True.
We'll get to that later.
True.
Oh. Anyways, anything else about Black Lightning then, Carrie?
No, I think that's it.
All right, moving into our next show, The Flash, Season 5, Episode 14, Cause and Excess. After Iris lands in serious danger, Nora races to save her mother. After Iris lands in serious danger, Nora races to save her mother. After Iris lands in serious danger, Nora...
Stop.
Barry puts the finishing touches on the metahuman cure, leaving Cisco with a rare night off as he decides to take Camilla on a date.
Stop it. I know what you're trying to do. It works on the show. It does not work on the podcast.
Right. So we had kind of a Groundhog Day kind of episode.
We had a time loop episode, guys. This happens. If you've seen any
show,
if you've seen Groundhog Day, if you've watched Xena, Star Trek, whatnot, time loops happen. They happen.
But before we get to the Groundhog style, let's talk about something.
Sure.
So, do they really think messing with the Speed Force is a good thing? You know, they just struggled to get Barry out of it, and now he's going back into it for an hour. It's only an hour.
Apparently they think it's safe for an hour. I don't know.
Speaking of the Speed Force, though, something just feels off to me with Sherlock.
Well, he's been translating Nora's diary.
He knows a lot about the Speed Force. Something just seems...
He's been translating Nora's diary. She probably talks about the Speed Force a lot.
What if... I know I've brought this theory up before. I'm bringing it again. What if he's Thawne?
I think the possibility is there, but I think that's a bit too convenient.
I don't think people are looking at it like that. But that's my theory. Just feels off anyways.
I do find it interesting that Nora is getting more hints of how evil Thawne was from everyone, because this week she got it from Cisco, last couple of weeks she's been getting it from her dad and from Iris. And I like that she's starting to see the full picture of what Thawne was like. And I don't completely... I'm skipping to the end of the episode here. I don't completely trust in his theory that he's the only one who can fix whatever it is that she's trying to fix. Looks like she's trying to save Barry.
I trust him 100%, Carrie.
I do not.
I want a book of Ralph.
No, I don't want a book of Ralph.
So, Cisco decides to take some of Ralph's cyber-stalking ideas. And I loved Caitlin every time or in Iris, either depending on what Groundhog Day was going on, they would look at him and say, "Are you cyber stalking her?"
Yeah.
And so Cisco tried to impress this girl, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But it's always a bad idea when you change who you are to impress somebody.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. Did Iris not really think Cicada would not come back after her?
Yeah, that was a bad idea on Iris's part. She really needs to be smarter about this stuff.
So now let's talk about the Groundhog Day Flash style.
Yes.
All right. We only got to see four. But apparently it happened 52 times. So
hey,
we'll get to
that in a second. What? They normally don't, like, show every version. I mean, I was just watching the, I was just actually watching the Time Loop episode of Stargate SG-1, and, you know, O'Neill learned Latin fluently. That takes more than 52 times.
Yeah.
I think apparently they were looping for about 3 months.
Yeah. So,
in that one. So, but this is not a Stargate podcast. So, but I'm just giving you an example of, you know, other times where we don't see every time.
If you could loop, Carrie, what would you learn?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I hadn't quite thought about it.
Me neither.
Anyways, so 52 times, but from Cisco's vibing to Nora Messman time, they are hardcore setting up Crisis next season.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I didn't get a chance to look at the article, but I think I saw something where this episode explains why the Crisis comes early.
Mm-hmm.
It has something to do with the way Nora has been time traveling.
52 times.
Yep.
52 times. So the first time, Iris gets hit in the back of the head. Cisco is a business jerk, and mm-hmm. Caitlin gets killed.
Yep.
The second time we see, Ralph is hit. Cisco is a gym rat, and
yeah.
Ralph gets killed. The third time, Sherlock is hit. Cisco is a social media jerk, and Cisco gets killed. The fourth time, Cecile is hit, and Cisco cancels, and Cecile gets killed. Those are the ones we saw.
Yeah, but we saw like flashes of the others, and pretty much everyone got killed except for Nora, obviously.
Yeah.
Until that last time, which that effect was really cool, with how they figured out how to stop him.
I thought it's almost like right after he threw it, it ended up in his chest.
Yeah.
Again. It was amazing how that happened.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And. I know Cisco wants to be normal, but I mean, being able to do that kind of stuff is really useful.
Sometimes. I think Cisco is going to give up his powers, and that's how he's going to leave the show. I think he's going to take the cure.
I think you may be right.
Because he wants to live a normal life.
Yeah, but I love that Cisco's vibing is how he figures out what's going on.
Right. I do like his one line he said to Nora.
Yeah, I like that too.
In the tube, he said, "Sometimes we fail because all we do is worry about failing." And I thought it was very good. I do love the callback when Barry is talking to Nora.
Mm-hmm.
From when Jay Garrick discussed time redos to Barry in season 3.
Uh-huh.
When the older Jay Garrick talked to him, the old Flash. And he used the same illustration with a coffee cup with Barry at the diner. And I like the way Barry described that to Nora, too. I thought that tells you that he's grown.
Yes.
And it's a very good mentoring role for him.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just get some love for Ian?
No.
Okay. No. So one of my quabbles I have, guess what? I use the word quabble,
uh-huh.
is I'm starting to get annoyed with Cicada. They've had multiple times to kill this guy or take this guy down. They've had him on the ropes, and they haven't done it. I'm starting to get that same irritation that I did with the Supergirl's enemy, Rain, from last season. I think the storyline is too long for a season. I'm starting to get annoyed with Cicada because I feel like we have been... I just feel like... I mean, come on. We are 14 episodes into Cicada, and you're telling me you have not been able to take this guy down in 14 episodes.
They've injured him and they have taken him out. They're doing a better job with Cicada than they did with Raid, in that at least they know that he's there and they have managed to do some damage to him, but he keeps coming back.
All right. Now, here's the thing. They have the cure now.
Yes.
Okay. You're telling me it's going to take them the next 8 episodes almost to finally give him the cure.
Who knows? Who knows? Because the dagger flew him out of there. He's going to need a while to recover.
But the next time they meet him, why not just do something to surprise him to give him the cure?
I don't know.
I hope you can see where I'm getting at. I'm okay with him as a villain. I just don't think he was a season-worthy villain. I think he may have been a half season. Mm. And then when you come back from winter break back in January, maybe you had a second part of the season villain. Mm. So, like, to me, I think Cicada would have been a great villain for the first half, and then you have your red Supergirl. No, that's a different show. I'm sorry. You have the whole Eobard Thawne villain issue the second half. Somehow he comes out before the winter break in a clip, and he's back in time, and now we see why he was really using Nora. I don't know. I feel like they've dragged Cicada on just too long. That's my thought. But I'm usually wrong. Except for when I make predictions. I'm usually pretty right. Right, Carrie?
Sure.
Sure.
Whatever
awesome.
You say. Whatever you say, dude.
Well, anything else about Flash then?
No. I think that's
it. Two more. Here we go.
Breathe. Okay. So, Gotham, Season 5, Episode 6, Legend of the Dark Knight, 13 Stitches. Read whatever you want to into that title there.
Gordon
assembles an unlikely team to protect Gotham from Eduardo Durance and his Delta Force. Just as Lee Tompkins resurfaces, Barbara reveals shocking news that will change Gordon's life forever. Meanwhile, Selina and Penguin team up to outsmart the fellow villain Magpie.
All right. So the episode starts off with Jim Gordon on the run.
Yeah.
After the end of last season. I love the camera shot with him running, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
That was funny. And I love how
directed this episode. The guy who plays Jim Gordon. I think he directed this episode.
It's Ben McKenzie.
I think he directed this episode.
Well, he did a great job.
He's been doing a pretty good job. I think this isn't the first one he's directed.
So I'm glad he was able to get one in though before the show ends. By the way, I think the show only has 13 episodes. That was episode 6 we just saw, so we only got seven more guys. So
yep.
Enjoy it. I love the way Jim fried Ed's chip. He had the paddles and just fried that mess. Then we get Lee. Lee is back. And my question was, when I first saw her, where has she been? Obviously, Carrie, we found out.
Yeah, she's been on ice until Eduardo needed her, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Lucius Fox is also a surgeon. He removed the implant from Ed's head.
Hey, you know what? Engineers need to do delicate work with wiring. A person's brain is just wiring. Sure.
And Ed in a bomb suit. Can we get some laughs?
that was awesome. I really wish he had been given the chance to explain himself to Harvey.
Oh,
but
man.
Messed that whole thing up.
One of the other things that I kind of was upset about, there's no way Eduardo would have survived that long with a piece of rebar stuck to the middle of his chest.
Okay.
So let's talk. I know they had to give us Bane. I get that.
Okay. Part of my thinking is that he's enhanced somehow. I mean, Walker has been working with Hugo Strange. Hugo Strange has been known to do some really weird stuff to people. By the way, $5 says Walker is actually Talia al Ghul.
Ooh. If I had $5, I would take that bet.
The other thing is that sometimes if he didn't move from that spot, so the rebar was what was keeping him from bleeding out.
But there was a lot of blood on his outfit, though.
There was a lot of blood on the outfit, but...
But, But still, if you think about where that rebar was, where it punctured, okay? It definitely his spinal cord. It went straight through.
Yeah.
And then it went right into his sternum.
Yeah, right, but it looks like he probably missed the heart and lungs.
I get that. I just I don't know. But I know it's comics, so I can't.
Yes.
It's comic book. I get it. Lee's eyes rolling back was pretty creepy.
Oh yeah, that was creepy.
And then we had the bombshell. Barbara is pregnant.
Kids, it only takes one time. Good job, Jim.
Good job, Jim. Way to have that.
Good job.
How does she know she's pregnant, by the way, that quick?
It's...
Because, obviously, it had to have been about maybe 2 or 3 days after that rendezvous.
No, I think it's probably been a little longer than that.
Okay, so you're talking a couple weeks at least.
Because we are running up pretty close up to day, was it 101?
Like 160 something or 180 something.
Yeah, we are
something
running
like
pretty close. I think we are running pretty close to the how we get to the opening shot of the season.
Okay.
Because now, Ed's head has been fixed, so he's back to normal, whatever that is.
Jeremiah's been stitched up,
and he's somehow found his way off of the island.
Mm-hmm. And he had just enough time to shoot up Alfred.
Yep, and take them both back to Wayne Manor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this also explains why Bruce wasn't at the gunfight at the beginning of the season. Yep.
So I wonder where Bruce is at the gunfight.
He's probably on the mainland at Wayne Manor. That's my thinking anyway.
We'll see. Maybe he comes in his Batman suit or something. You know, I don't know.
No, because there's supposed to be more of a time jump for the finale.
Right, and unless what we saw was the penultimate episode, the episode before the finale.
Possible. Like you said, we only have 6 more episodes. So
right.
They're burning daylight pretty fast right now.
They are. But anything else about Gotham? I mean, there's not much about Gotham else. I mean, it was a good episode. I mean, the Penguin Selina storyline really didn't, you know.
Well, it kind of harkens back to the more adversarial relationship they've had in, say, you know, Batman Returns and
right.
I think some of the comics they've been frenemies.
Right. That's kind of what was going on here.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about our last show.
Let's talk about the donkey in the room, guys.
Yep. The donkey fart in the room. Let's talk about a new show that just premiered on the DC Universe, Doom Patrol. Season 1, Episode 1, named Pilot. The Doom team, tired of being stuck in Doom Manor, decides to visit the local town while the chief is away. However, this seemingly harmless field trip leads to some grave consequences, including an encounter with the mysterious and powerful Mr. Nobody.
By the way, I love that Alan Tudyk's Mr. Nobody is the narrator for that.
He did a great job this episode.
That was awesome.
He did phenomenal.
You rarely see the villain be the narrator of the story.
Right. And he was mocking the heroes, quote unquote. Throughout the whole thing. I thought it was great.
Oh yeah, and of course this is Alan Tudyk, so we know he's awesome anyway, so.
And no, we did not get any Cyborg in this one.
No, I think he's supposed to be next week.
Right. So our first thing is wow.
Yeah, you weren't expecting that, were you?
I was not expecting the Giselle scene in the pool house.
Yeah, I was not expecting it either. I was watching I was I was watching this late at work, and yeah, I had to, you know, look around and make sure that nobody was walking by my cubicle.
Yeah, I was watching this with my girl sitting on the couch, and I'm like, oh, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I think my biggest note here is that I was getting a bit of a Deadpool vibe off of this show.
Yeah.
I can't think why. I totally know why I'm getting the Deadpool vibe off of this show.
I remember, yeah, I don't know why, Carrie. I remember one of my notes on here was, what is this show rated again?
MA.
For those who didn't know, this show is rated MA. I did not think that's why it would be rated MA. I figured it would be rated MA for language and violence, but I was not expecting that. But anyways, so I do want to talk a little bit about the show. The scene where Cliff finds out his family was killed was very heart-wrenching.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I can't feel pain. I tried to imagine it. I just can't feel no matter how hard I hit. It was very, very heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and there's the dent in the in whatever it was he's been banging his head against. I don't know if you
yep.
noticed that. Yeah,
yep,
he's clearly been banging his head against that for a while.
Yeah, it was the stairs he was walking up.
That too, yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a good scene. We learned this episode we kind of learned about where they came from, how
mm-hmm.
they got to be where they got to be.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that Rita, of course, we kind of knew she was a movie star
from
we could kind of tell. And then, okay, I have a question. So I don't know a lot about Doom Patrol. I figure you're the resident expert on it. So, is it when she gets nervous and scared, she starts?
I have
to
no
turn
idea.
That?
These are not characters I am very familiar
okay.
with, except for, you know, the handful of Titans episodes that they showed up in towards the end of Teen Titans, and the episode where Gar introduced them to the team.
Okay, so for our thousands of listeners out there that we have, if you happen to know the answer to that question, whether she turns into that to that blob mess when she gets nervous and scared, that's kind of what I picked up on.
Yeah, that kind
that's
of
what
seems.
Happens.
Yeah, that kind of seems like a good theory.
Okay, Cliff obviously was a NASCAR or a race car driver
mm-hmm.
that was busy having inappropriate relationships, as well as his wife and his buddy Bump. Yeah. So that was an interesting part, too. And then... Larry was a test pilot. And now we know he walked out of the fire, completely on fire.
Yeah.
And now he's all wrapped up in bandages, but he never got that cold beer either he wanted.
Nope. And I don't know what's going on with whatever it is in... that made him pass out and then, you know... become energy and stuff.
It was like the Fantastic Four. They get hit with like a giant.
Actually, I was thinking more along the lines of Livewire.
Ooh, I like that. And then we had Crazy Jane.
This is part of the reason why we have a TV MA rating, because oh my gods.
And she's got 64 personalities.
And some of them are really, really nasty.
When
she
went off on the cops, that
and
Cliff is just sitting there like, oh crap. Now, I'm not gonna actually say what he said, but he's like, oh crap,
here we go.
So then we get kind of to the end of so they go into the town they want to go into because the chief's away, so the Doom Patrol will play. And Crazy Jane goes and she paints the whole bus black, and she brings it back and they go in the town, and when they get there they think, oh, everybody's okay, everybody's just staring at us, but we're okay. And then Rita loses control.
Yep.
And she turns into this giant
she's a gelatinous mass of gelatinous goo.
Right. And Mr. Robot,
Robot Man.
Robot Man decides to stop it, so he stops it, and they get Rita, and they go back, and they're like, yep, he's going to kill us. And the chief shows back up, rolls in, and says, y'all have no idea what you have done, what you have awakened, what kind of danger you put us all in from Morden, the guy we saw at the beginning of the episode.
Mr. Nobody,
Yep, who was Alan
Tudyk. I really want to know what's up with the donkey, though.
Yeah, apparently there are donkeys that can fart words. I
and
gotta get me one of these.
Fart interdimensional holes in space and time.
That's a powerful donkey.
That is a powerful donkey.
All I gotta say is, what the donkey fart?
Yeah, exactly.
Episode title right there, Carrie. What the donkey
what
fart?
What the donkey fart. Okay, sure.
So juvenile, but so fun. But yeah, so how did you feel about the show? Because it's kind of not—it's not what I was expecting.
I kind of expected some comedy either.
I'm still a little indifferent about how I feel about it. I'm hoping to give another episode or two.
I'm
going to watch it all the way, but it just—I don't want it to be one of those that I have to burn through just because I have to watch it.
I am pleasantly surprised by how amused I am at the show. I will probably have to wait and watch this until after I get home from class on Fridays because, I have no idea how much more mature we're going to get for the rest of the season. But, yeah, that's, not that I object, but, you know, like, I was not prepared for that level of, maturity.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, there was a lack of it, that's for sure. So, anyways, like I said, I'll still watch it, but I just don't want it to be one of those drudge things where I have to, like, just drag myself through it. Just to be able to podcast on it. So I hope it picks up. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just different. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Well, like I said, I'm getting a definite, slightly toned down Deadpool vibe off of the show. I can't think why, but I loved the Deadpool movies. So I really like where this is going.
So what you're saying is Eric would love this show.
Possibly, yes.
Okay. So Eric, if you're listening, which we know you don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to us. Nobody listens to us.
Hey, and Alan Tudyk, we know you listen to us as well. So if you want, we can interview you a little bit, reach out to me. Currently my Twitter name is @ObMikeKenobi, @OB_MikeKenobi. So, you know, keep that in mind. Or you can go to Carrie, which is CarrieBlack542. So keep that. See, I memorized your Twitter handle, Carrie.
Aww.
But we've been doing this for 30 episodes, so we ought to memorize it by now.
That's
and
true.
Cape
that's
Chronicles,
so sweet.
Not to add those in.
True.
So, but anything else that we can dig into before we close out the show? Because we finished a lot quicker than I thought we were.
Yeah, we did. No, but I think that's pretty much it. I mean, we've been we had a lot of stuff to cover, and we managed it pretty well, I think.
Just a little over an hour, so we are doing okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a final DC quote this time. It's from the Red Hood, from the movie Batman Under the Red Hood. It says, "Tell me what bothers you more." He's talking to Batman. "That your greatest failure has returned from the grave, or that I've become a better Batman than you?"
That's debatable. But okay, Jason.
Ooh. Great movie, by the way. If you've not seen Under the Red Hood, you need to go see it. So that's your DC quote of the week, and we look forward to having you back next week on DC Talk. But let's go ahead and close out some things, Carrie.
Okay, so we want to hear from you. You can email us, dctalk@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Twitter @randomchatter. You can find me, as Mike said, @CarrieBlackfire42. That's KERIBlackfire42. And Mike, we can find you at, one more time?
@OBMikeKenobi. That's @OB_MikeKenobi for now. That is my current Twitter handle.
And you can find all of our shows and polls and articles over at randomchatter.com.
All right. And you can support us and spread the word about us. Tell people about us. Leave reviews for us on iTunes. The more reviews we get, the higher up we go in the store. So we're on Stitcher and Google Play as well. We will, if you leave us a review, we will read your review on the air.
On the pre-recorded air.
Yes.
Finally, the music you hear in this podcast is Shotgun Senorita by Blue Stolly, and As Silly as the Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, guys.
Donkey farts.
What Mike said.
See y'all later.
Bye.